Amen. Thank you. That was fun, wasn't it? Singing those Christmas songs. So Greta's story was one that I think we could title a God moment. There are God moments in our life every day. It's just a matter of whether we take time to notice them. If you picked up sermon notes this morning, or if you want sermon notes and didn't pick them up, we have some, so just raise up your hand if you want to take some notes. The slides are not going to match your sermon notes, so I'll tell you where the blanks are. The first one is, throughout the course of every day, there are multiple God moments. There are multiple God moments throughout the course of every day. Do we notice them? Or do we blame other things for keeping us too busy and distracted to notice them? I don't think it's the fault of our society or our culture, because we're reminded when we read through the account of Jesus' birth and life that many people who lived at that time missed a good many God moments too. In fact, they missed the God moment when Jesus was born and came to earth in the form of a little tiny baby. When God became incarnate, when God put on flesh, when God decided to show us, not that he couldn't relate to us, because he could. We are made in his image. But what he wanted to show us was how we can relate to God. So he came and he lived among us. There was great anticipation waiting for the birth of the Messiah. There is still great anticipation at this time of year. Now, it can come out in different ways for different people. I hope that it's an expectant hope, but sometimes it's an anxiety. Sometimes it's even a dread. Have you ever asked the question, when will Christmas be here? Or maybe you've asked yourself, when will Christmas be over? You know, looking back in history, which is the name of our series this Advent season, it's a play on words, because we're going to look at some history throughout the Bible, our history, the history God has passed down to us, and we're going to look at his story, at Jesus' story throughout this season. I think we're going to better understand the expectant hope that's so closely related to the celebration of Christmas. Our life stories take on new shape and direction when we connect with Jesus. Anticipating the Christmas season has no meaning without delving more deeply into his story. And let's do that today by opening our history book to find out what we're going to focus on today. We're going to focus on a story worth telling. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. How many of us recognize the love God has? This morning, that was the main thing God said to me. Now, basically, last night after everybody went to bed in my house, I kind of rewrote the sermon. And then this morning, I'm at the cross, and I'm again on my knees as we sang that last song. And God said, I just want people to know how much I love them. And I just want them to know how much I desire their love back. And I almost feel like I can be done. That's the message that God is bringing today. So hear that again. God says, I just want you to know how much I love you. I just want you to know how much I love you. And I want you to love me back. Did you know that there was 400 years of silence between the last writings in the Old Testament by the prophets and before the writings of the New Testament? Now, I don't know that God was just completely silent. I don't think he took a long nap. I don't think he just completely turned his back. That's not his character. I think that he likely interacted with some of his chosen people, but he just about had it. And those of us who are parents or supervisors or in any capacity work with people can understand when you're trying to tell someone over and over and over something and they just don't get it, how sometimes you're just like, okay, I need a break. Not so much that the person's going to have a timeout, but you're going to take a break. So there's this expanse of time where God's people didn't hear from him, or at least didn't have anything produced from him, from prophets that were written into our canon. Our canon is the books that are chosen as part of our Bible. The scripture that was chosen for our Bible is the canon. And there's a 400-year gap. Talk about living in expectant hope. Is God going to talk to us again? Or maybe more accurately, fatigue and desperation and wondering and fear and all sorts of different emotions. I know some here can relate to waiting to hear from God, because I know some of your circumstances and I know you're in God's waiting room. And it can feel like a long time, but I promise you it will not be 400 years. You're not going to live that long. If it's not in this life, it's going to be in the next. You'll be there before 400 years. There is a distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. However, we need to remember that God is the author of both. He is the author and the one who spoke through the people who wrote the Old Testament, and he is the author and the one who spoke through the people who wrote the New Testament. And one thing about God is that he is always the same and he is always consistent, and I love that about him. I am not consistent. I don't feel the same every day. I can wake up feeling all different ways. And then even if I feel great, I can go out and have something happen and it totally changes the way I feel in a given day. But God remains consistent. We can count on him. That's part of what's behind that message of saying, I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much. And that's what he said over and over and over to the people of Israel. For thousands of years, he said that. And then he got quiet for a while. And then he came back again and he said, I love you so much. This is how much I love you. I will send my son to live with you so that you don't just have to hear it from other people, but you can see him. You can live with him. You can hear from him. He can show you how much I love you. Jesus was recognized by some as the Messiah, but not by all. In fact, a lot of people missed it. the Old Testament is so important because it foretells of what to expect. How do you know who the Messiah is? It is in the Old Testament prophecies that it's explained, particularly through the prophets Samuel and Isaiah. But Samuel, who had his commission into speaking about David. And last week we talked about David, how he was anointed king, and how the future Messiah would come out of his bloodline. So, for instance, it was a declaration made by Samuel in 2 Samuel 7, and I'm just going to summarize, that said, "I will raise up your offspring after you. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." It was known that the anticipated Messiah would be a son of David, or in other words, one of David's descendants. And in the New Testament, this is precisely what Jesus was referring to and what he meant when the Pharisees and he had a discussion where Jesus asked the Pharisees, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" And they replied, "The son of David." They knew this because they knew what the Messiah was going to look like, who he was going to be, how they would recognize him. And then fast forward to the end of Jesus' life, his last time going into Jerusalem, the people, the crowds were around and they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The Old Testament is so specific about the heritage and the promise of the Messiah that he was recognizable to those who took the time to notice. There's many God moments in life. There's many God moments in Jesus' life. And they're literally written down for us to read. We can study them, we can take note of them. So how did so many who were living at Jesus' time miss that God moment? How did they not recognize that he was the Messiah? This beckons a question for us to ask ourselves, which is, how do people now completely miss the Messiah? Completely miss who Jesus is? How do people not know? I think the main reason is because no one's told them how to recognize him. How do we recognize Jesus today? The people at Jesus' time fully knew the scripture. And if they were paying attention to the scripture, and let's face it, Jesus actually brought the connection when he said, "Who do you think the Messiah is?" "Well, the son of David." "Well, hello." He brought that connection to the people. They would have recognized him and seized the God moment, and some did. Jesus was born a baby, grew him to a toddler, a little boy, a tween, a teenager, and finally a man. Jesus was God incarnate, which means that it's God personified, alive and in the flesh. And God's love for his creation was shown by sending Jesus to live among us. Sermon note, Jesus lived a life that was the epitome of the concept, "Watch what I do and then do the same." Jesus showed his love by sending his spirit to live within us after he left the earth. So God the Trinity had a plan when he took these steps. That plan is called redemption. I thought I'd just throw a churchy word out there today. Redemption. Okay, what does that mean? Well, let's find some other words that make it easier to understand. The redemption plan includes salvation, deliverance, rescue, release, liberation, friendship, reconciliation, and a father-child relationship that is loving and pure and unconditional and genuine. A father-child relationship. You can have that. Listen. Because I know a lot of you did not have that in a biological father or parent. But this is available through this love that God is saying, I want you to know how much I love you. It's a father-child relationship that's loving and pure and unconditional and genuine. That's what the redemptive plan includes. And this is where connecting our story with his story becomes so important and becomes a story worth telling. Earlier, I mentioned that the anticipation of Christmas could come with an expectant hope, maybe anxiety, or maybe even dread. Because of Jesus Christ, the convergence of our story and his story will eradicate the anxiety and the dread. Those who embrace Jesus and recognize him as the promised Messiah receive a new life and are changed forever. As we embrace Jesus in this way, we recognize him as the promised Messiah. He becomes our champion and our liberator and our leader and our defender and, of course, our Savior. Fatigue, anxiety, dread this time of year have no room in a life that's full of Jesus. Jesus can rewrite any one of our stories. Jesus can rewrite any one of our stories. We can have a different story than the one that may define us now. Our stories shift to one of expectant hope when we allow God to reveal his unconditional love for us as a father, and we open ourselves up to receive this kind of love. So we can recognize this love's available, but we need to be willing to receive it. It's a big love. It's a big love, and it's going to take up a lot of room, and it's going to overflow in you as a story worth telling. So as the New Testament opens with the Gospel of Matthew, God's 400-year silence is broken. The commencement of the plan of redemption continues and takes a turn to the unexpected with the birth of a little baby. First of all, God's timing is perfect. It's in your sermon notes. Galatians 4, 4 and 5, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. When the time is right, say that with me, when the time is right, when will God move? When will he act? When the time is right. God brought us freedom. God sent him to buy freedom. God brought us freedom so that we could be adopted as his very own children. Are you God's kid? Are you God's kid? Are you loved by him to the extent that you can come and sit on his lap? Spend time there with an expectant hope this time of year, because your story has been rewritten, not a sanitized version, but a redeemed version. We don't pretend that we don't have the history that we have, but we get to exchange our history for his story in our life. That's victory, people. That's love. That's exciting. That's what I'm here to proclaim today. Jesus came in the most unlikely way. Again, sermon note. And he came through the most unlikely person. Matthew 1:21 says, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I was listening to the radio this last week, and the DJ had a really great point. And he mentioned how God was silent for 400 years. And then who did he come to first? Well, the culture from way back in the Old Testament was that men were the prominent, dominant members of society. They were the religious leaders. They're the ones who knew everything. Women, unfortunately, at certain points in history, were property. And unfortunately, in certain parts of the world, are still property. Let's face that, and let's make sure that we keep that in mind and do what we can to make a difference in our world so that we don't just live in our little bubble. But at any rate, what did God do? He came to a young girl first and said, Mary, I'm going to come to earth and I've chosen you to do it through. And then in a dream, he talked to Joseph, her fiance, and said this verse that she will have a son and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God showed up in a way in the world, in people's lives, that was totally unexpected. I hope that your expectant joy can be filled with the unexpected. And then Jesus continues to use this modus operandi. He continues to use this mode of operation. Romans 5:11, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ had made us friends with God. The last song we sang mentioned that we are friends with God. Who will tell those who don't know how to recognize the Messiah about him? It is you and I who are called to carry on the work of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, watch me and do the same. How many God moments occur regularly in our life? Will we pay more attention to them? We all have a story we're sharing, which brings us to our next steps. I invite you to take out your program, and I hope you noticed our new cover, because we're getting pretty fancy around here, aren't we? Take out your connection card. There's next steps on it this morning. I would ask you to look at the next steps. They're all about finding those God moments. Fill out your connection card as we listen to just about a minute and a half of Christmas music. If you need a pen, love. You love us. God, we aren't able to fully grasp that, but help us to just a bit more today understand your love for us and love you back. In Jesus' name, amen. You are amazing. We love you so much, and we don't even know what real love is compared to you. God, your love is big, and I just pray that it will flow into us and that we will catch those God moments. And not only will we catch those God moments, but that we will be filled up to the point that we recognize how you are changing and working in our lives and rewriting our story and redeeming our story, and that it becomes something that we're just compelled to tell. God, thank you that we are entering into the Advent season and that you have given us this place and this space to meet in, at least till the end of the year, that you always provide for us. I just pray that you'll go with all of us today and help us to emanate you. In Jesus' name, amen.